Hey, housewives, come on in. You know the dirty dishes are still in the sink from yesterday and the laundry is still in the basket. Pop your AirPods in and make yourself at home here.
I'm Tracy.
I'm Tori.
And we are your Unlikely Housewives. Stepping out in faith and believing that God calls the unlikely, we are here to show you the appreciation and validation you deserve, lead you to authentic relationships, and release you of believing the cultural lies to restore your faith and wellness.
Pull up those high-waisted yoga pants, tighten your top knot, and reheat your coffee for the third time. Turn up the volume and let's go.
Hey, housewives, welcome back.
Hey.
We are here for part two of our two-part series with the Shermans. If you didn't listen to the last episode with Anthony and Jessica Sherman, Anthony is a retired Kansas City Chiefs player. So his darling wife shared with us her faith journey, how they have been a part of the Christian community in NFL and really brought the both of them on their Christian walk. And so we loved that. We are here today's episode. You're going to catch glimpses of Anthony's transition into retirement. You're going to hear about how he jumped right out of the NFL and straight into the police academy.
And that is because of his straight desire to impact the sex trafficking that is happening right here in our city nationwide. And so he goes right into that. And he is a current law enforcement officer. And we talk about that and what that looks like for him and for Jessica. And then we also discuss the Super Bowl parade. In February, when we had the Kansas City Super Bowl parade, Anthony was actually working downtown. And so we hear their side of the story and how it went down for them. And there are little ears in your car that you don't want to hear that part. Be sure to just turn that down or put your AirPods in. And so we hope that this episode is enlightening, encouraging, and also brings a smile to your face, because we do. We laugh a lot.
And lastly, we do talk about Anthony's transition into podcasting. If you haven't heard, check out Buddy Listen, and he'll talk about it a little bit more in the episode.
Enjoy. I think we were talking about it. I want to say it was probably the fall festival at our school, but like, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you raise kids, like knowing that these are things that are like coming in. Like, I mean, I want my girls to have like this faith of like, you are walking out off a cliff onto a piece of glass and not knowing it. Like literally you have to have that kind of fearlessness and confidence in Christ that there is that step. He will have you. He will continue to have you, because we don't get to be on the sidelines anymore.
Right.
We can't hide in our church pews. We actually have to be doing stuff and calling out and calling evil what it is and saying stuff and putting targets on our backs.
And I think we've come to a point too where like sheltering our kids may not be the right answer. I mean, I talk to my kids about a lot of hard things at an age that I never thought I would.
Yeah.
But I just feel like the enemy is everywhere, and I don't want them hearing about something before I can get to them with it.
Yep. Yeah.
And it feels like just with the internet, and even if we're so protective over what our kids see, I mean, like they play sports, they have friends at school. I mean, you can't hide them from it. So I actually think that it's probably, I think that we're about to raise up a generation of fearless leaders, because I think that life was kind of easy for a long time. So people just kind of coasted through.
Yep.
Maybe like lukewarm Christianity, just because they didn't feel like they had to have that fire. And I feel like now, us Christian parents, we know that we have to give our kids everything and we have to raise them up to be lions, right, babe?
That's right.
You guys have three lions, three lion cubs, and they are super fun. I've gotten to have fun with all of them. You guys are raising some great kids.
Thank you.
Okay, so a couple of years ago, your time at the Chiefs ended.
Yep.
You decided that it was end of an era, but you're not just one to go home and not do anything, Anthony, are you?
No.
You decided, I've got an idea and I'm going to go do what?
Well, so a little backstory behind it. I definitely jumped all in to it the first couple of months, where someone maybe didn't appreciate it because I was just getting done.
I'm pretty sure he was at the police academy before the Super Bowl. Not really, but
sure felt like it. Can we
hold on? Pause. We can't just like kind of scoop over the fact that before you retired, you did.
Win the Super Bowl.
You do have that. Which I'll argue was the best because it was the first one.
Yes. I agree. Yeah. You're allowed to claim that.
We win the Super Bowl and my goal was 10 years and certain things that the NFL was kind of pushing were not kind of where I wanted to be.
You can talk about those if you want it.
Some political stuff that I'm not.
Well, it was all energized by COVID.
It was before COVID, like a lot of the stuff that just, I was not behind the bullshit.
Yeah.
And fair. I didn't want to be affiliated with it. I wanted 10. That next year was kind of COVID where kind of things were weird regardless. But as soon as that year 10 was over, I'm like, I'm good.
So year 10 was the second Super Bowl that we lost to Tampa. That was his last game.
Got it. Okay.
And that was COVID year when there was more cardboard people at the Super Bowl than real people.
So that was February 2021. Yeah.
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 Okay.
So I knew going into that game that I was done. I couldn't be behind all the nonsense that they were pushing, all the vaccine, all the whole 9-yard stuff of what the NFL was getting ready to do. So I retired, but what people don't realize is that year, that spring, I was going down to Fort Scott a lot. I got a buddy down there that lives there. He's a sheriff's deputy, but he had come to a couple's Bible study. Very awesome, awesome man of faith. His family, he came and spoke to a couple's Bible study at our house. His story, his testimony on what he was doing now. And he's got a charity, E3 Foundation. It's for combat veterans and victims of sex trafficking.
Okay.
And he kind of told us what he was doing, going overseas, doing these different operations with IJM and stuff like that. And
International Justice Mission.
Yes. Yeah. And I had talked to her right after that. I'm like, babe, I feel like I want to do that when I'm done. Like, I want to help people that can't help themselves.
Yeah.
And she was like, okay.
Because you said okay, because you're thinking,
this was like 4 or 5 years before you retired. So it just felt so off in the future that I was like, okay,
sure.
Of course you'd want to do something super dangerous.
Well, what happened was, I didn't grow up with a lot of money. It was military, law enforcement, or football. I was blessed. Football worked out for as long as it did. I got to live a beautiful life because of it. But then I wanted to do that. And then I kind of just started going down there more during the COVID because it was kind of more open in the country. So we'd go down there, shoot guns, hang out, relax.
Get away from our kids for a minute.
Yeah, or both of us. Because
they were home all the time.
All the time.
So he's like, hey, are you getting close to being done? When he came and spoke to us, he was not sheriff's deputy at the time. He was just nonprofit organizations now, helping in that capacity.
And he is a former professional athlete as well.
12-year MLB baseball player.
Okay.
Awesome dude. But he wasn't law enforcement. After so many times going overseas and stuff, he realized that sex trafficking happens in America more than a lot of other places as well. I mean, it could be down the street. It's everywhere. So he's like, how can I help here? The only way you can really do that, you can have a nonprofit, but like the only way you really, really can make an impact where you can go and arrest, like you have to be law enforcement.
Right.
It's just how this country works, which is great.
Yes.
I'm fine with it. So he ended up getting deputized by his local sheriff's office. I was down there a bunch and we pitched the idea to the sheriff. He's like, yeah, I'd love that. Awesome. He goes, this is kind of what you'd have to do. So like, you have a year from when I swear you in to then having to go to the police academy. So that last year of football, I was a sheriff's deputy as well. I was sworn in law enforcement.
Just because making a look of like, because you didn't have enough to do. I mean, just being,
he's like,
you know,
I'm going to go out to Fort Scott.
Just your team's preparing for this Super Bowl and all
the
things that
you're doing. July of that, before that. So that
season. You were doing both.
I wasn't necessarily doing both, but I could do both.
Okay.
I was law enforcement.
Which is crazy to me.
Right.
didn't really have any practice and he was still a sheriff's
deputy. Well, it's because it's more or less they do it as like a train, like not a training process, but like you get a year to then
like
go
a
to the
probation. Yeah, a probation like period. This is what you're doing.
If you're not going to work, then they'll just get rid of it. And then they don't have to spend the money on the police academy for you.
There you go.
So during that time, actually, it might have even been before, I keep going back and forth, but we met with a couple of special agents with Homeland Security. And Adam met as law enforcement. I met as a private citizen.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're always looking for private citizens that are willing to help, because if we go in these situations where we have a victim, and now we've got a nonprofit that we work with, but like before this, which was 3 years ago, if we had a victim that didn't feel safe going back to wherever they're at, well, what else are we supposed to do? And we couldn't pay for a hotel room or something like that, because then if it does go to court, now it's paid testimony,
mm-hmm.
long story. It's like,
right.
It's not, but it is.
The red tape of it when,
yes. So they needed private citizens to then say, can we call you if we get someone or something that you can then put your card down at a hotel and pay for?
Right. So
willing, it's like a, not a charity, but like willing to help us fight this problem.
Right.
And I went down there as that. And I'm like, I'm willing to help. Yeah. And then it was funny because they started talking about this course that they do like 6 weeks at night. And it essentially lets you do like ride alongs and stuff with federal agents.
Okay.
And I'm like,
that sounds fun.
Can I do that? They're like, aren't you going to be a actual law enforcement? And I'm like, yeah, I've got the paperwork in and stuff. They're like, oh, well, let us know when that happens, because there's an actual better avenue
for that.
So I did, and you know, for the year, and then I got task force officer for group 3 and HSI.
That's Homeland essentially security investigators.
Thank you, Jessica.
Yes. It's essentially what we do now is our group is basically for traffickers and trafficking and figuring out ways and operations to stop and try to put an end to as much as possible here in just Kansas City, but all over the country.
Yeah.
Because he's a part-time sheriff's deputy. He only had to do like a part-time.
Two-week academy in Kansas. That's the state law.
Wow.
2 full weeks, which I guess that's not terrible, but
compared to how long he's been gone before, like training camp and all the things, right?
Yeah. But it was like he had just retired and then he's like, I'm going to be gone.
Yeah, this was, so I retired in February, April of that year. I was down at the police academy.
And I had actually planned a girls trip in Florida and we were gone at the same time. So I was stuck trying to piece together
babysitters.
And I was like, this feels no different. Yeah. And he's 1 month out of retirement.
And then once all that transpired and I was commissioned and badges and all of the whole nine yards with that, I jumped in heavy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, first.
Like knocking down doors every other week.
Well, you get out of football and then what are you supposed to do? I mean, he's the adrenaline, right?
Yeah,
part of it.
I really enjoy doing what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
But I then had to take a step back and realize like, yeah, I probably don't need to do, I can't not say no whenever they call.
Yeah.
I can say no, but I wasn't saying no.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And I was out a lot.
Well, and I think that happened too is like, within a year of him retiring is kind of when sports picked up for our kids, and he coaches all of them. So I think too that you actually can't go a lot now because you have.
But I was thoroughly excited about my opportunity. So I was going all the time. But
yes.
He was like, hey, just FYI, like you're retired.
Does that word mean anything to you, Anthony?
You need to be home more. And I'm like, you're right. You're right. So I've taken a big step back and
until yesterday.
Yeah.
When he said yes. And I said to him right before
we're talking about the Super Bowl parade here in Kansas City.
And I said right before he left, I said, it kind of makes me nervous when you go to these things because you don't do it often. So I feel like, and he said, babe, I do all the trainings and most days on the job of law enforcement is not chaos.
And so when I went up there, there's two different. Now, law enforcement daily is a very dangerous job. It's writing the traffic tickets. it's the domestic dispute call that you get during the day that dispatch puts you on. Like, that stuff is the dangerous aspect of law enforcement. I'm investigator, warrant type of guy. Like, I am more controlled environment, meaning we have an ops plan. We know what we're doing. We know the layout of the house.
You know who's involved.
We're going to hit the house at this time. We're going to have an operation. We have got op meetings, op prep. We all have a job. We know our job. We know all of that. So I'm more of an investigator.
You're almost on a detective kind of offense versus.
Yes. So I'm not breaking up a fight on a daily basis. Like, that stuff where it can get heated.
You're not going to be the one that pulls anybody over.
Like, I'm so, the guy
sorry,
that,
guys. You're not going to get pulled over by Anthony Sherman.
No, I'm the guy that's going to take whatever they find and then go build up a case and do it that way.
Yeah.
So I said yesterday, so he was like talking to me, it's fine. Like, I do all the trainings. Yesterday was the first day that I experienced what a lot of wives of officers experience, was like a time frame when I know he's down there on duty and then there's an active shooter and you don't know. I don't hear from him.
Yeah.
And so bless all those women whose husbands do that.
On a daily basis.
There was a lot of praying going on in those. I think it was only 4 minutes. I felt like 20 minutes. But before he texts me.
But you got into the party late. So it wasn't necessarily that I text you back 4 minutes after the incident.
No. Yeah. I didn't know what was going on.
You were informed by somebody else what was going on. And then you reached out to Anthony going, hey, what's going on? So yesterday was your first experience feeling that, like, I know where he is. I know that there's a possibility of something.
And the way in which I found out too, my friend whose husband's on the chief's, they were like barricaded in a room in Union Station. And she called me very frightened and she knew Anthony was there on duty. So she was calling to see if I had any information because she wasn't really sure what was going on.
Yeah.
So I think the way in which I found out kind of heightened my anxiety about it, I guess.
Yeah.
So I found out and then I called him. He didn't answer. And then at some point, so it was probably way after I talked to her because I called him and I didn't reach out. And then finally, at some point, I wrote, text me and let me know you're okay.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I think 4 minutes after that text, he said, I'm good. But then I didn't hear anything for a long time. So I'm like, are you good, good? And at this point, there was no word on whether.
I didn't know there was a definition
of good.
Good. Like, are you okay?
I think it was
so
more like I wanted.
I'm good.
I thought that. Yeah,
I wanted to know like he was good and the threat was
over.
Over.
Yeah.
And at that point, it wasn't. So the I'm good in my mind was like you're currently good.
Yeah. At this second, you're good. This could change.
But right. I need that you're good again.
Right. Yeah. So it wasn't until I got text that he was like kind of out of harm's way or whatever. But he had said last night when I was asking him questions about it, I was like, so like, where were you when it happened? And like, we just started running in the direction everyone was running away from. And I thought, that's pretty amazing. Because I think that takes a special kind of person. I think it's human nature to run away from danger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
there were multiple people that. There were multiple people that have been interviewed that said, like, I didn't see anything. I heard something. And then I saw all these people running towards me. So when there's a crowd running, you don't ask questions. You just go.
Right.
And
so that's what he said. I was running in the direction that everyone was running away from. And that's what law enforcement does. And that's why they deserve all the praise in the world, because they're heroes and they're doing a very selfless job that's so necessary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's no greater love than laying your life down for a friend and hopefully you never have to experience that. But they put themselves in that position.
Yeah.
So we've gone from the NFL, which is not exactly the safest job either.
I feel like compared to what he's doing now. I'm
right.
Like, wow,
that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
back to football.
Yeah.
Can we do that again?
Can you call me and tell me you need a massage after work today? Those were the days. And then we're going to this extreme. But you guys are, like, it is incredible to see how God has used your story and your journey together to grow each other and to just impact and make ripples within our communities, within Kansas City, and It's just, it's incredible to see you guys. And I mean, you guys are just the most fun to talk to.
Oh,
and
thank you.
And field day is always a good time. Speaking of field day, I'd really like you to wear one of your training outfits for field day this year. You think you could get away? Although we'd have
to. I don't think it's appropriate for school.
Okay, because, okay.
I mean, they're not bad.
No,
I mean, one was a wrestling jumpsuit.
Yeah, that wouldn't go over
no,
well.
No, not with Kathy.
Not we love
or the shirtless overalls.
Yep. Oh, that's the other one I saw. The overalls was
or
good.
The jorts with the tank top for the cutoff sleeves. That wouldn't
yeah.
go over well.
Oh, the biker one, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, no,
the biker vest, that wouldn't go over well.
I don't know. I think
I'm going to need to see some pictures.
I know.
This sounds entertaining.
I think the only one that's appropriate was your NASCAR fire suit.
Yeah, the NASCAR.
Which you don't want to wear that outside in May.
In May. Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Hey, if it snows.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so why? Why do we wear the...
Well, one, I don't... Is it... Am I in the afternoon now?
Say what?
Third grade in the afternoon?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I probably won't go.
I think I may need to join this year. Why can't you go?
Why can't you go?
Afternoon session, I feel like I'm good with the morning session. I really...
Well, you have to go to both.
You have to go to both because you got to do
Bo
one.
And then Rex.
Yeah.
No, I liked it this year. They were in the same team.
Yeah. Well,
I
yeah,
knew I had two ringers.
Right. Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm.
I had two ringers. I had another young lady that was super competitive. Her dad was with me. She's like, yeah, she's going to take this too far. I said, oh, nope, nope. Perfect.
Nope, this is
Come
good.
On. Hey, you're over
Let's
here.
Go.
You're with me. Let's go.
Yeah, no. We need a little field day crew. I'm thinking, yeah.
I'll have to join this year.
We'll yes, see. Yes.
We'll see. Maybe. I don't know if she's qualified.
Oh. No, you will be.
I am a head softball coach of a high school. I think I can.
But what I'm saying is, why have I been the one that's been stuck going to field day every year?
Because the boys
Duh.
Want you.
You're cool. If you don't go to field day, how are we going to do tug of war at the end against Anthony, against all the teachers?
Is that what we're doing this year?
Yeah, oh, of course. I'm sure it is. We did it last.
No, we did all the kids.
We did all the kids.
And then they started falling on. I'm like, oh, this is going to be bad. I'm going to go. Did you remember seeing that? Like,
yes.
There was like the five kids in the front and then they all started getting like stepped on. And I'm like, all right, we're done.
Yes. It was
game over.
Yes, because you had Anthony at the end. Yes, you got to have some kind of fun with it. I think, yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, there's one other thing that you have in your retirement started, a podcast.
Oh, yeah. That's just, me and my buddy.
That's for fun. That's
Buddy Listen. Buddy Listen is the name. We just talk sports, military, current events.
They have pretty cool people on there, too, because
we had Nicole Hardman.
George Brett.
That's awesome.
A bunch of ex-Chiefs players that we're friends with. I mean, it's been fun. It's kind of like a locker room. But yeah, I know it's been a good time.
He also does 810 radio on Thursday mornings.
There you go. Look, she's your marketer right there.
Yeah, nice. Which she's never listened to.
It's but okay. Almost, we know probably... what this is like. We're on episode 75 and our husbands are just catching up.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Andrew, I don't know how far Andrew's gotten.
Chris has gotten a lot farther because he now drives to the plaza. Wait. So he's been catching up.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, you said what?
Yeah.
They're like, about that. Sorry. Okay. So the podcast... Was that just something that you were like, hey,
yeah,
I can do
so
this.
We, Georg and I have been on 810 radio with the Border Patrol guys. They're awesome dudes. We've been on that with there for about over a year now. Yeah, about a year, maybe a little bit over a year. And they were like, hey, we really like your dynamic with each other. And we think you have really good insight with obviously the Chiefs and sports in general for being, you guys are professional athletes. So. They're like, you guys want to do your own show on the radio Tuesday or Wednesday nights from like 6 to 7 or 7 to 8, depending on whatever was going on. So we did that for maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And we're like, it's fun. But at the same time, like I wanted to talk with military.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about hunting. I wanted to talk about like other things that are going on, youth sports, like whatever it is.
Right.
Which I get 810 radio wanted like Chiefs and Royals and like sports stuff, which is fine. I get it. That's their market. And so Garrett and I were like, let's just kind of start our own podcast. I mean, it's no different than what we're doing now. We'll get our buddies and
except you can do it whenever you want.
Who has from, no, I love those guys, but like who has 6 to 7 or 7 to 8?
On the weekly.
On a week, like Wednesday nights available. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah. Not with kids.
Baseball
sports.
Practice, sports.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Basketball, football.
Youth groups, Wednesday night, Monday night. Yeah,
yeah, like Jess has got stuff. Like, no, I'm good. Like, we're going to do our own thing.
Yeah.
We stay on the radio. We're on the Border Patrol every Thursday morning from 8 to 9. But we started out of my house. We got Nebraska Furniture Mart to sponsor us. So they gave us a ton of money for all of our gear and cameras and furniture. And
Trace, we did this wrong.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Wow. Man, yeah. I need Anthony to make a phone call.
Yeah, we got signs, furniture, lighting,
hey,
all
I
that.
Hey, I can do signs. I got a print shop for that. I know
all
some
right.
people for
no,
that.
I like the sign behind me. You got to come over. You guys got to come over and check it out. It's,
yes.
It might just make us jealous.
I know. Really,
we're like, just started. We've been working on this for almost 3 years.
Harder.
Yeah, so we've got, it's a pretty cool setup. I think you like it.
It is. So right next to our house, we built our house. I think we bought the land in 2019. I had to convince him for several years to move out to Kansas to stay here after retirement.
Oh, did you want to go back to the East Coast? No.
I had two really good buddies.
So I had to convince him that his two really good buddies didn't matter that much. That we weren't going to move.
Hold on. Up until that point, all of my friends were on the team.
Yeah.
And the off season, everyone would leave.
Yeah.
There might be one or two maybe that stay in town. Mm-hmm. So everyone would go back home. We would go back home. So I'm like, I don't know what Kansas City, like I love the area. I love that. And I said, a couple of things. I said, I want acreage if we're going to live here. I don't want to live in a subdivision. And I said, I'm going to have to see if like I have friends because I have two really good friends that I really care about and love back home. So kids started playing sports. I started meeting more people outside the football, church, sports.
And right. And this time
Jess started meeting people at church and like their husbands and stuff like that. So then I'm like, oh, I've got a really good group of guy friends and couple friends and family friends and kids have their friends. Like,
this is good.
This is great.
Right. And I had developed community outside, obviously, before him. So anyway, we would go back and forth. And every time we went back home, mind you, we would go back home in winter. So that's
ideal.
You know, ideal.
Yeah.
But I loved it. I fell in love with the area. I just thought it was a wonderful place to raise kids. And I do love our families. And that is one huge downside. Like, I would just love to be able to have the kids go to their grandparents' house.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
We have figured out a way where, like, our kids are so close to both sides of grandparents, even though they live far. But yeah, so when we finally decided, we both were like, okay, we're selling. I think it was when Rex was, like, the year before Rex was going to go to kindergarten. We're like, okay, we need to just stay in one place because he needs to do, like, a full year of school before kindergarten.
Yeah.
In which that year got cut short anyway because of COVID. But once we decided we'd stay full time, we ended up finding the acreage that we're out at now. And yeah, we built our house.
You don't know where you were going.
No, I don't.
Do
yeah.
That's okay. I love you.
Where did
the
we
barn.
Where did
I love
the
you very much.
Location.
I'm
so
like,
what happened
we
was we,
our
built,
house?
We built our house and she's done a phenomenal job. But I went to one, we built a spec house in Wingate. And I went to that meeting and I was miserable. And we picked out, I didn't realize you picked out
every detail.
Like the cabinets that I'm looking at right now, you pick out the color of those knobs that are different than the color of the other knobs.
Yep.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm good.
And that wasn't even like, that was just like.
This is the what you
that wasn't a custom
package.
Home. That was just.
Like, here, we're going to give you five choices. Pick one of these five.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
Well, again, I didn't want to do that for the five.
Right.
Well, now we're full custom.
Right.
And like, you pick out the size of the wood panels and like the different marks on the wood. I'm like, hey, babe. I love you. I got a sweet truck, nice TV, and a sweet bed. I could live in a trailer. I don't care.
So
you do it.
Okay.
And I completely stay out of it. I said, but one thing I do want is a barn gym next to the house. Well, when I say barn gym, and I refuse to call it a garage because I wanted like a red barn gym.
Right next to our house. He wanted a big red barn next to our house.
I wanted a barn.
You wanted a barn.
Plywood. There's plywood inside. It's really sweet. There's flags hanging. There's
so we
pictures.
Compromised and the outside has,
close to the house.
Has a garage, like a big door that you can lift, but it also has a separate
entrance
to the
okay.
right. And it has a loft area in it. And it looks from the outside like it would be an in-law suite.
Okay.
But with like a big garage door. People always think it's an in-law suite. So what we did the inside, it's all plywood walls. It does. And it looks sweet.
I got one
set. It really does. It looks good.
I was very good.
They're like, all right, you can do the outside, but I got the interior
but
of this
the
one.
The loft is the recording studio for his podcast.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
So and I get so this, it's really it stays and like up. No one goes up there.
Yeah. And the loft is open at the top and it overlooks the gym.
Oh, that's kind of
really cool.
Really manly.
Yeah.
You'll have to come see it.
Yes.
It looks good. So I got what I wanted from the look on the outside and he got what he wanted from the look on the inside.
The barn gym.
Teamwork.
Yeah. Which is really just.
And he likes it just as good as if it was a red barn.
No, I can't really. I call it the barn, but it's really not a barn.
Right.
It doesn't look like a barn.
But he still calls it his barn gym.
Barn gym. Well, I think.
And it has no AC in the lower part, but the upstairs loft, you can close the doors to get AC. But he thinks that the only way you get a good workout in is if you
don't
sweat.
Have AC. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it's not a country club.
Hey, do you have a...
it's not a country club. If you're going to come into the gym, like you're going to work out.
Do you have a sunlight and sauna? That's one of our sponsors. We'll hook you up with that.
A what?
A sunlight and sauna, an infrared sauna.
Wait, you have a sponsorship with them?
I mean, yes, we do. We have an affiliate link because we
have like a discount code or something.
Yeah, we do.
I look for free.
All right. Well, I'm sure I can make a phone call for you.
Make a phone call.
Actually, you can make a phone call for us.
We do have. Could you make a phone call for us? Like, yeah.
What are you looking for?
There is a steam shower in there.
Oh, that would be,
But I could use an infrared sauna, though.
Yeah, the infrared. I'll show you ours downstairs. Where this podcast came from. During COVID, she would come over. We would be in the sauna together, which, for the record, her husband thought we were in there naked together forever.
For months, he didn't have any idea. And then he finally just asked me, and I'm like, wait, what do you actually think?
Can we just sit in there naked?
It really ruined a lot for him.
But yeah, so we would talk about like different things and be like, oh, you too? And that's where the idea came from, were like, oh, well, we're not alone in this. Like, the people are actually wanting to talk, like other moms
and
things.
Yeah, let's just record stuff and we can yell and scream and do whatever we want.
Exactly. And so here we are 2.5 years later. Mm-hmm. So, but it's all started in a sauna where we were not naked.
No.
So,
nope.
But anyways.
Yeah, I could jump in the steam shower every night. It's fun. The best part is, and honestly, once I was retired, I went through a stretch where I'm like, I don't want to work out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I bet.
I'm done. I didn't take. No, I didn't feel bad. I was just like, I have nothing to train for.
Mm.
And I've never taken more than like 2 weeks off of lifting from college to 15 years.
Yeah.
But no more than 2 weeks after a season that I would start to lift again. So I was like, I just don't care. I'm done. I'm not working out.
And what did you think of that, Jess? Were you not sure what to do?
I think that he is happier when he works out, and I don't think he realized that.
No.
Okay.
I had to go through the process of being like, I don't have to work out. But now I go back to saying this, is I absolutely love having it at my house because time doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
So like...
He works out at night every night now, at like 9 o'clock at night. Who does that?
Oh, see, I could do that because I would want to fall asleep right afterwards. I'd be so exhausted.
No, so like for me, it's like, okay, well, I'm doing this with you all today.
Huh?
I had radio this morning and I used to be one of those like 9, 10 o'clock. If it doesn't happen, doesn't start at 9 or 10. Now it could go till 1 if I wanted it to, but like if I didn't start then, I was not going to do it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to find an excuse. And this is what was going on before.
That's me.
I'm going to find an excuse not to work out.
Right.
Which mowing, errands for the wife. No, I'm just here. Like errands for myself. Like
shoveling stuff.
Day stuff. Laundry to help her with stuff in the house if she's got a busy day. Like whatever it is, get the kids, whatever it is. I'd always find an excuse if it was during my time to work out. I'm like, I'm not going to work out today. I'm already past my time.
Right.
So now I've essentially found a way not to have an excuse anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because like right now, I'd be like, I'm just going to go home and hang out and not do anything.
That's me. I'm like, I haven't worked out today. We'll see if it happens.
Yeah.
But now.
Maybe I'll work out with you, babe, tonight.
At 9 o'clock.
Our listeners.
At 9 o'clock, I've been going over there and there's no excuse because the kids are asleep.
Yeah.
She's usually getting ready for bed.
Yeah.
Asleep, 9 o'clock, I'm out.
Which is fine. Like,
yeah.
We're laying in bed.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I'll work out. There's no excuse I can't. Like last night, after the whole day.
God, yeah.
I said, take the night off, babe. He said,
I still went over and worked out.
I almost would think after the day, you'd almost have to like just get that energy out. Like just the release of it because of just, yeah.
Yeah, but no, I've found a way to get back into the swing of working out and not give myself excuses.
That's awesome.
I'm still working on that.
Yeah.
I'm constantly working.
We'll work on that.
Well, we also both have, I started first, but we've been doing macros.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Which I think is just fabulous. And we like weigh our food on this little scale.
Gosh.
And it's our kids just, they're like, I'm so sick of hearing about and like how my Rex is like, how many grams is that, mom? How many grams of protein, mom? And it's just funny, but so I cook a lot more now.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun because we do it together. And then I think when you're like eating healthier, then it motivates you to want to work out. It's
right.
Like,
you feel
like
better.
Both are, snowball effect.
We both are all or nothing people. It's like when we're eating healthy, we're working out. When we're not eating healthy, we're not working out.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense, but
that's okay.
That's my husband and I too.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to finish on this because you mentioned Rex. So my daughter, Juliet, I told her that you guys were coming over because it was like, I was like, oh, Rex's parents are coming over. When are they coming over? When are they coming over? And I was like, what's the deal? And so I told her, I was like, oh, yeah. Rex's parents are coming over to record a podcast today. And she goes, I was like, no, what you need to do is you need to go to school and go, hey, Rex, your parents are in my house today. With my mom recording. And then I was like, and then that way you're on the offense. Like, and then he can be like, what? And you can be like, yeah, no big deal. And so she's like, oh, I can do that.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, you give Rex crap about it. But yeah.
He doesn't talk to me about anything. I don't know what goes on at school.
No, we get, how was your day today? Good.
Good. Yes. I thought all my other friends that have girls, they tell them their whole day. I can't get anything out of Rex.
No, Andrew's like, he goes, why am I sending you to school for good? Like, can you at least repeat something?
Nope.
Like, nope, it's good.
And if
now,
I do
it might
hear
be a week later, you'll hear some.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like bedtime.
It's like they forgot. They said that they weren't going to tell you, but then they do tell you, and you're like, "Wait, was this today?" They're like, "No, like last week."
And if I do hear anything, it's recess sports. That's what I hear about.
Yeah, we're at the stage where we like, what's the drama? I'm like, you're in third grade. There is no drama.
It's like, oh, you've had that's girls.
The right. And you guys are not at that. Your girl's not there yet. So, I'm praying for her future boyfriends. As I've heard.
Good luck.
Yeah.
People often tell us, though, they're like, we know she'll be protected, but I'm not sure she's going to need it.
Yeah. No,
because she's a little spitfire.
Because she's so funny. She had half of Rex's baseball team that showed up to one of her soccer games.
And they all got
laid on the turf and like were screaming and yelling, taking their shirts off if she scored a goal at the Shield soccer complex. I'm like, we're going to get kicked out.
So we are that. All of our really good friends have all boys.
Okay.
So she is around boys.
Only boys.
I think we've got one girl in like the group and it's just all boys. She actually doesn't know very well how to be around the girls.
Yeah.
She's but like a girl growing up in a boy world.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're all like her. They're all, our younger sister. And
she's super sporty and a tomboy. So it kind of just, it works.
They go to her games. They've showed up to her, like five or six families showed up to her softball game.
Oh my God.
Like, we're super close with everyone. But
although I am worried about the HGA skirt. I don't know if she'll ever wear that.
That is a good point.
She's more of a shirt, shorts.
Yeah.
What are the options for girl shorts there?
Not great.
Oh, boy shorts.
Not cute. The baby shorts. However, when we're going to start recording here in a second, we'll end on this. But the West Campus came out with a uniform update. So on that note.
Are they going to uniform?
Oh, they are. And on that note.
That will be.
Unlikely Housewives, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you both
for
having us. You guys are an awesome power couple. And we're so thankful you shared your journey and testimony with us.
Thank you.
And next time we're going to go over to his house and record.
Yes.
Come on.
Seriously. We'll bring it.
You know sports?
I'll bring Juliet with me.
She knows.
We can work with this.
We can do that. Okay, cool.
I can bring my husband.
I can talk current events. How about that?
Yes.
I'm in. Okay.
Until next week, Housewives.
Until next week. Bye.
Whether we made you laugh or cry today, we pray you feel appreciated, bolder and braver than yesterday, stronger and more faithful for tomorrow, and living in who you were made to be today.
Join our online community on Facebook, link in the show notes, and be sure to review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you enjoy listening. Until next time, housewives, we give you permission to walk confidently, free, and to be intentional in your slippers or stilettos.